that are still out there, come on in here. It's good to pray, but it's a time to stop. Amen. All right, we're in two areas here tonight, and we're going to pick up where we left off on Sunday night, Revelations chapter 2 and Acts chapter 20. So once you've got your place there, go ahead and stand with me, Revelations 2 and Acts chapter 20, picking up talking about how to handle five types of conflicts. We're studying Acts on Sunday night, and that necessitated us going in this direction. And then Revelations, talking about the churches there on Wednesday nights and that as well. So Revelations chapter number 2, and we're going to be in verse number, let me make sure I've got the verse down, amen. Verse number 12, and then Acts chapter 20. We're going to be reading in verse number 29. Both of these areas have conflict, and that's why we have stopped and paused both of those areas to talk about how to handle conflicts. Who did not get a pamphlet about conflicts? Everybody's got one. Amen. All right. If you don't, Tony's got one for you. Amen. All right, let's read Acts chapter 20 first. And again, if you're able to stand, let's stand there. Verse number 28, and we'll read to verse number 30, and that's the study part that we stopped off on. Here we go, verse number 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Okay, of course, we didn't go into verses 32 yet, where Paul commends them to the Lord. But we do know there's some conflict that Paul already foresaw happening in that church. And of course, we read in scriptures, we know that happened to Ephesus. So we're trying to avoid conflict, or how to handle conflict. Over in Revelations now, chapter number 2. And this is where we're going into next, dealing with the seven churches there and these types of Christians there. And we're in the one about Pergamos. Not going to talk about it tonight, but I want you to notice something here in verse number 12. Read that with me. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Amen. We're going to stop there. We see the Nicolaitans, amen, are there in the church there in Pergamos. We also see there's some that are teaching about the doctrine of Balaam there. So we see some things going on there, the doctrine of Balak, amen. So we see some things going on there. We see some things in Revelations. Sunday night, we're talking about going through the Acts and what's happening there. Wednesday nights, we're talking about the churches of Revelation, some of the things going on there. Taking a pause, talk about conflict. Conflict. Both of those areas cause conflict. How to handle conflict? Will we have conflict? Hey, yes, we will. Can it be handled? Yes, we can. And so we're going to pick up where we left off on Sunday night and trust that God will help us with conflicts that we have. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Lord, as we're taking a pause from the study of the Acts of the Apostles, where Paul said, I know there's going to be some things happening in the church. And then we're taking a pause on the seven churches that are there that represent types of Christians, where we find there's some things in Pergamum that are hated by you, the Nicolaitans, and then the teaching that was there that Balaam had done as well. Lord, so help us tonight as we discuss more about conflict to be sure that we can have a handle on conflict, Lord, to know how to deal with it when it arises in our midst. We thank you, we love you, and praise you, Lord. Have your hands upon our teaching tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So dealing with how to handle five types of conflict. We saw some things on Sunday night about the definition of conflict, and we agreed that it is a disagreement of some sort, and it is a conflict of some sort, and it's a struggling of some sort. We also saw Philippians 1:30 and Colossians 2:1, where the word conflict is actually found scripturally speaking. And we found in Philippians 1:30 and Colossians 2:1 that the idea there was a struggling of the mind or distress or anxiety. It also came with the idea of contention or fight. And we found out there are five areas here that this pamphlet talks about. You and another, you and your mate, you and your children, you and your church, and you and God. And so that's pretty much where we left off at on Sunday night. We began talking about this conflict and how to handle it and the spiral effect of it. Can conflict get out of control? Yes. Can conflict turn into a war? Yes. Oftentimes, conflicts start just that way. By the way, you ever saw something start out small as a conflict and escalate into something big, whether it's with a sister or brother, a sibling rivalry, or a husband or a wife? It starts out small and then it ends in a bitter divorce where there's fighting and bad names and just an ugly situation where years prior to that, there was honeymoon, there was bliss and things of that nature. Oftentimes, it comes from conflict. Conflicts. We've got the five areas there. Let me give you some tips here before we get back into what this talks about. Amen. We read the first part in your pamphlet there all the way down to the helpful thoughts. And we talked about how God has the right to use people who disagree with you. Well, let me give you a tip of my own. First of all, conflict should be handled person to person. Would you agree with me? If it starts person to person, it ought to be handled person to person. Amen. This is how you would like to handle it, face to face, and as soon as the Holy Spirit gives you liberty. How do you not want to handle a conflict? With anger, that this is true. We're dealing with the actual dealing with someone else. Yes, ma'am. Shouldn't pull a bunch of people into it. That is true. How else do we not want to handle it as far as getting to someone? That's true. We don't want to have a vengeful attitude or an outreach like that. But if I'm going to deal with someone and I'm going to talk to them person to person or face to face, how should I not deal with them? Yeah. Anger, that's true. That's true, but I was looking more at the forum that I use. Privately, which would negate what type of dealing? Public, social media, Facebook, texting, emailing. If the problem didn't start over email, why am I going to deal with it over email? If the problem didn't start through texting, why am I going to start with it? Well, sometimes texting, it does start in texting. Amen. So I'm going to deal with an issue. I want to make sure I'm face to face. I'm person to person. If there's any conflict, person to person, face to face, never by text, never by Facebook, never by email, never by social media. Why are these bad ways to handle a conflict? Pastor White? Messages can be taken the wrong way. Do you know that text messages obviously have no feeling? And they don't have a facial expression that you can look at? It's just words. Now, just imagine if you type the wrong words in your conflict message. I remember one time I sent Miss Duffy a message, and it had a curse in it. And I thought, oh, I didn't mean for that to happen. What happened? I typed it up real quick and sent it. And Ms. Duffy said, I know you didn't mean that. Amen. And I said, you're right, I didn't mean that. Amen. I was like, bad texting. It auto-corrected what I was trying to say to something that was bad. Exactly. So So if you're not careful, you can try to handle a conflict by text messaging or email and typing the wrong thing, and you can escalate that thing to something that's far worse and greater and have a hard time trying to explain that one. Amen. So you never want to do it by Facebook, never by text, never by phone, never by email, never by any type of social media. By the way, what could happen? It could be misunderstood. Others could get it. Others can see it. And others begin to get involved. Under circumstances, certain circumstances, a letter may need to be written if personal contact is impossible. But social media is not the way for reconciliation. Before we begin to talk about how to handle these five types, I want us to briefly look at two main causes of conflict. Two main causes. Before we dive into this any further, I want us to look into these two main causes that are often overlooked when conflicts arise. Whether it's, most importantly, this is in the church. Most importantly in church. Cause number one is not knowing your purpose in the local church. Cause number one for conflicts is not knowing your purpose in the local church. According to Acts 1:8, why did Jesus Christ leave us here as a church? Be a witness. What is our purpose, number one, primarily, other than to glorify God? Be a witness. One of the main causes to conflicts is that we overlook that we are to be witnesses. But ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to uttermost parts of the world. That is part of the problem. There's a tandem to that issue as well. Go over to Romans chapter 12. This is a two-part thing here. In Romans chapter 12, of course, we know the Bible says we should give ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service. We understand that. But also in the church, conflicts arise because we don't know our spiritual purpose. Other than being a soul winner, God has placed you in the church to do something. Would you agree with me? Do you believe that God has something for everybody to do in the church? Amen. And if I am not doing what God placed me in the body to do, guess what's going to happen? Conflict. Conflict. By the way, what if there are two of you put in the church to do the same thing? Can you get along? Hey, don't you got two index fingers? Don't you got two pinkies? Don't you got two thumbs? Don't you got two big toes? Don't you got two small toes? Amen. And guess what? They are the same, but they have a slightly different function on opposite ends of the body. So we can operate with someone else that has the same purpose that we have. Amen. By the way, I was talking to Jesse Medrano yesterday. His dad had an accident with one of his machines and cut his finger off. So he's missing a finger now. He has no finger on his left-hand side, on his index finger. Can he operate without that index finger? Yes. Can he operate as effective? No. But can he operate? Yes. Romans chapter 12, notice verse number, of course, you know verses 1 and 2. And verse number 3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." In other words, he's saying, don't get too big for your britches, amen? Don't think you're better than what you are, amen? Notice what he says in verse 4. "For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we being what? Many are what? One body in Christ, and every one members one of another." I read a devotion just yesterday that some of you may have read as well, on this particular area. And I want you to notice what it says here. It says fruitful fellowship. It says problems arise in the church when individuals assume an unduly high estimate of their own worth, abilities, or importance. In other words, what it says down there in verse number 3, "For I say through the grace given to me, not to every man, is among you not think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Okay? So he says, problems arise when the individuals in the church assume an unduly high estimate of their own worth, abilities, or importance. says this: to find his true place in God's will, the believer must not view himself exclusively as an individual. How should I view myself in the local church? As a part. What if your finger viewed itself as an exclusive member all by itself? What could it do? Well, I'll give you a hint. Brother Jesse's dad's finger had to get cut off. What is it doing right now? It's dead. It's doing nothing. It cannot operate by itself. So I can't think of myself exclusively as it's just me. It's just me. I'm just a finger. It's just me. I'm just a thumb. It's just me. I'm a nose. I can operate all by myself. By the way, you can't. And so he says down here, to find his true place in God's will, the believer must not view himself exclusively as an individual, but must perceive himself also as a part of the whole, as a member of one body. A proper self-estimate is necessary, but an individual's view of his own worth should lead him to evaluate the service that his abilities will allow him to contribute to the body as a whole. So in other words, I evaluate myself and I say, what can I bring to the body? What can I offer to the body? As a finger, what can I do? I can help grip a cup. I can help add balance. As a toe, what can I do? Hey, I can help add leverage. Hey, my Achilles is just now getting repaired. Guess what it can do? It can give me lift. I still can't jump high, so Gary can block my shot still, amen? But once I get my lift back, guess what? And I'll be knocking his stuff all across the street, amen? You wait, buddy. Hey, what am I saying? I look at what can I bring to the body. What is it that I, as an individual member, can contribute to the body? What's my purpose? What's my function? Am I a finger? Am I a toe? Am I an ear? What can I bring? It goes on to say this: all individual endowments are intended to fit believers for their functions within the body. In other words, that means God gives you something and it's to be used in the body. A true sense of responsibility will bring one to realize that a special talent, whatever it may be, is a gift of God. Amen. That talent gives no one a claim to special dignity or preeminence in the church. It merely points out that he has a particular service in the fellowship to which he must devote himself. And so if God gives you an ability or a talent, what should you do? You should use it. Amen. By the way, most of you guys know that I love things orderly in a certain way. When I got to Calvary Baptist Church, what do you think I did? Did I get up there and say, I like to organize things. That's what I want to do. No. I quietly went to Pastor Ben and I said, hey, do you mind if I organize this? Do you mind if I did this? Nobody ever knew that I was doing it. I would show up when nobody else was there. I'd go and do my thing. And then I would leave and folks would come back and say, who did such and such? I wouldn't say anything. Why? I don't need to toot my own horn. I'm not there to toot my own horn. I'm there to do a job. And God had called me. By the way, he brought Frank in right after me. No, Brother Caldwell. I used to get off work. I got off work at 12:30. I would get off work, get my lawnmower, go all the way over to the church, drive about 20 minutes, get my lawnmower out of my car, and take it out and cut the church grass, put it back in my car, and drive all the way back. A brother around the corner from the church saw that name. I won't tell you what his name is. But anyway, he saw me doing that. He said, what on earth are you doing? I said, I'm cutting the church grass. He said, look, I live right around the corner. Do you mind if I come and cut the church grass? You know what I said? No. Guess who assumed that responsibility? He did. So what happened? God brought in somebody else that did the same thing that I did and felt the same way that I did and took that. And guess what I did? I went and did something else. And then guess who God brought in? Brother Frank. And Frank saw me doing something. He said, you mind if I start doing that? I don't mind at all. So now I got replaced there. I got replaced here. And guess what I started doing? Something else. That's just the way God does things. So we're placed in a body and there can be two of you to do the same thing. It means that, hey, look, let's spread the wealth. Now I can be free to do something else. Why? Because we're in the body, not to toot our horn, but to lend our abilities and our talents to what God wants us to do. And so that devotion, it began talking about Romans 12, 4 and 5, how God placed us in the body. So the first cause that conflicts happen in the church is people aren't doing their purpose. Would y'all agree with that? And when you are not doing your purpose, guess what you're going to find? Something to grumble or gripe about. Amen. Your parents, you say, what? An idle mind is what? Devil's workshop. It's hard to complain and have conflict when you're busy doing what God has called you to do. Amen. Number one, I'm a witness. Number two, I should be a part of something going on in the church. I should have my purpose. By the way, everybody has a gift. Everybody has a gift. And you bring your gift to the body, not as a finger and saying, I'm going to do my own thing, but to say, hey, look, I'm a finger. I bring something to the table. Hey, look, I'm a thumb. I bring something to the body. Hey, I'm an eye. I bring something to the body. Hey, I'm a toe. I bring something to the body. So there's where conflicts normally start. I'm not doing my purpose. Now, the second one is going to be a little different, amen, because I told you there's two, amen. Go with Ephesians chapter 6, and most of y'all know where I'm going when I stop at chapter 6. Two main causes of conflict. Number one is my purpose is not being fulfilled, whether it's the Great Commission or my spiritual talents or gifts. But then the second part of that is this, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. We spent a whole year talking about this last year. And the second part, not knowing your adversary who's fighting against you while you're in the body. Notice what he says down there in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Do what? Put on the whole armor of God. How much of it? If I don't put the whole armor on, what's going to happen? The devil's going to get me somewhere. And where is he likely to get you? Where's the easiest part? The unprotected part. The part is up there. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're doing an activity and the opponent should be protected, where are you going to attack? Where he's unprotected. If he comes out there and he wants to fight you and got no shoes on, what you going to do? Step on his toe. He'll yelp quicker than you can shake a stick. If he's out there, he doesn't have on any boxing gloves, what are you going to do? Hit him on the hands. Amen. Hey, if his face is supposed to be covered, where are you going to hit him at? Hit him in the head. Hit him in the face. Hit him in the head. Hit him in the face. Wherever. Wherever is unprotected, that's where you're going to hit. I remember I used to use the illustration. We used to play kickball as kids in school. And there was always some poor little soul out there that couldn't catch the ball. Who did you kick the ball to? That poor little soul that couldn't catch the ball. When you played softball, who did you hit the ball to? That poor little soul that couldn't catch the ball. You just did. I mean, what do you say? Easy out. Hey, you think the devil plays any different? He doesn't. Notice what he says down there. Put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Here we go. Here is the reason why the causes are conflicting. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. You can't fight what you can't see. And if you can see them, guess what they are not? Your enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible clearly tells you that your enemy is not another person. And do we get the message on that? We have conflict with each other all the time. I mean, whether it's at the job, whether it's in our families, whether it's in the grocery store, in the supermarket, amen, whether you go down to the pharmacy or whether you go down the street and play basketball, we will get conflict going with somebody we can see quicker than you can shake a stick. And the Bible clearly tells you that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know what the devil does? Sit back there and say, did you see what I got them to do? They're arguing at each other. Well, you see how I got that church to split up? But they don't even know who's me. I don't know about you, but I don't want the devil laughing at me. But he has had many a laugh for my life. I can tell you that. Amen. And so when you look at conflicts, one of the main causes is that we're not doing what we are supposed to in our purpose, and that's being a soul winner and then contributing our gift to the body. The second cause is we don't recognize that the devil is our real enemy. and we're not fighting against each other. But when conflict starts, whether it's in the church or at home or with our spouses, with our children, guess who we blame? How many times do we blame the devil? Guess who we blame? That person I can see. It's your fault. And guess whose fault it's not? The person who you see. Now, the devil used them, but the fault is not with them. So when you look at this, this area of conflict, the two main causes that are often overlooked are not knowing your purpose in the body and not knowing your adversary against the body. Most, if not all, conflicts would not even start if we kept those two things in mind. If we just kept those two in mind, most conflicts wouldn't even start. Because I say, what's my purpose in the church? I'm supposed to be a soul winner, and I'm supposed to be busy. So I don't have time to conflict with you because I'm doing what God's called me to do. Then I say, well, you know, if there is a conflict, you know, the devil's in charge of that. So let's just keep doing what God's called us to do. Let's keep being a soul winner and keep doing our gifts because we know the devil's involved in it. So I know it's not a problem between me and you. If we kept that in mind, we wouldn't have any problems. But you know what we don't do? We don't keep that in mind. That's why Paul had to go again in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6, says, wherefore, take unto you up the whole armor of God that you may. Didn't he just say that? He just said that. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Withstand, stand against in the evil day. And having done all to stand, he said, do all that right there that I'm telling you to do in verses 6, 13 down through 17, which we studied last year. So those are the two main causes, and all conflicts will not even start if we kept those two causes in mind, humble ourselves, and submit to authority. Amen. So with that in mind, let's look briefly at this first one here. We're not going to be able to talk much about it, but I just want to look at it a little bit. Conflicts with you and another. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Matthew 5 and verse 23. Say, preacher, you're talking a hard thing. Now I got to blame the devil and not blame somebody else. Oh, man, it was easier when I can blame my husband or my wife or that other brother, or that other sister. It was easier that way. I like blaming somebody I can see. I get results that way. No, you don't. You get conflict that way. Matthew 5, verse 23. Say, conflicts you and another. Verse 23, therefore, if thou bringest thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. So I'm about to give something to the Lord by way of an offering or whatever it is. And I remember that someone has a problem with me. Verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be what? Reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Notice verse 25, agree or reconcile is the word. With thine adversary, when? Quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the innermost farthing. He said, look, you know, this is what's going to happen. If you don't agree with them, they're going to go ahead and report you, and it's not going to be good for you. Amen? So let's look at this down here. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, there remembers thy brother hath aught against thee. Somebody's got something against you, amen. You need to make sure you get reconciled to that person. Now, by the way, how do I know that someone has an offense against me? I'm glad you asked. If it bothers you over and over again and you can't get away, you've been offended. If it bothers you over and over, so every time you see that person, you think about it. You've been offended. And you got two choices. You can go to the brother or sister and deal with it and get it over with, or you can confess it, drop it, and get over it. Those are the only two options. Deal with a brother or sister, or go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I just can't seem to get over this, but Lord, I want you to forgive me of that. Confess it. Lord, it's sin. I'm going to forsake it. I'm going to get over it and go your way. If you can't, you have been offended. You need to get that right. You will not have peace until you don't. Many of you know the problem that I had in my family. And I'll tell you, until I got it right, it doesn't bother me at all now. But he says, if it's going to be you and another, you've got to get that thing right. By the way, some don't want to admit that they've been offended. If you don't, you are not going to get any peace. You know who you're going to dream about at night? The person that offended you. You're going to see them in your dreams. And then when you see them, you're going to be that much more angrier at them. So you've got to deal with that. He says, hey, look, you need to remember, if they've got something against you, get it right. If it's something against you, get it right. Get it right, amen. If it bothers you over and again, you've been offended, you must be willing to open up and admit it or confess it, leave it, and get over it. By the way, are we going to affect each other negatively? Yes. It's going to happen. Do we mean to do it on purpose? No. By the way, oftentimes the things that you did to somebody, they don't even know they did. Pastors get on me years ago, when I would go behind people and put stuff the way I wanted instead of the way they put it. He said, "Brother, you can't do that." I said, "Well, why? They didn't put it right." He said, "It's right to them." I said, "But it's not right to me." "Well, who died and made you the boss of the church? Who died and made you the author of order?" "Well, it's supposed to go A, B, C, D, not B, D, A, C." And he had to get on me about that. He said, "Leave it the way they put it. Don't go back and change it." And I had to learn a lesson. Guess what? I began to offend some people with that. And those people had to come to me. And I had to get some things right. Hey, what am I saying here? He says, get it resolved. Amen. He gives you Hebrews 12, 14, and 15 there. We'll read that one. It says, follow peace with all men, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, thereby many be what? Defiled. He says, get it resolved, get it restored. Don't become bitter, become better. He gives you Philippians 4, 2 and 3. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers. Notice what he says there. No, those women simply had to what? Get along. Some people are going to be so diametrically opposed to you, you're just going to have to get along with them. Are you going to mesh with everybody's personality in church? No. You know what you got to do? You mess with everybody's personality at your job? Guess what you do? You keep working. Some people quit. Amen. But the goal is don't let the conflict stop you from doing what God has called you to do. You're not going to always mesh with people. You just got to look at, what's my purpose here? I'm a soul winner. I'm to give my abilities to the local church. Hey, it's the devil if there's any conflict that's coming here. It's not you. By the way, it's not somebody that you can see. And so he says, hey, look, they just had to get along. He says, personality conflict that affected the church. Make non-scriptural issues non-strife issues. Pretty good. If it's not a scriptural issue, should it be a strife issue? No. But do we make it that way sometimes? Yes. Unfortunately, we do. Conflicts. Notice some things he gives you at the bottom. Christians should avoid and shun all conflicts that can cause strife within where? The church. Why? It's the body of Christ. Is Christ divided? No. What was that last one? Let nothing be done in strife. Nothing means what? No thing, nada, zero, and zilch. Christians should avoid and shun all areas of division, strife, and what? Conflict. Is conflict going to happen? Yes. What do we have to keep in mind? Number one, what is my main purpose? I'm to be a witness, and I'm supposed to give my gifts to the local church. Where do I fit in? Am I a finger? Am I a toe? Am I a thumb? Where do I fit in? What is my gift? And let me get in and do what God's called me, not try to bring attention to myself, but just doing what God's called me to do. And then, if there is seeming to be conflict, is it that person? No, it is not that person. I don't care if it's at your job, it's not that person. If it's at school, it's not that person. In the grocery store, it's not that person. The devil loves to divide and conquer by blaming somebody else. Every church that's been destroyed, every job that's been destroyed, oftentimes it's somebody. And we put the blame on them, not knowing that the devil is in charge of that. And we've got to put the blame where it belongs, back on Satan. And we've got to start getting along and start loving one another. Amen. Let's close with that scripture down there, Philippians 2:3. Let's go over there real quick. Philippians 2:3, and we'll look a little bit more at this on Sunday night. Philippians 2:3. Because the last thing we want in the local church is conflict. It's going to happen, but we need to make sure we deal with it in the right way, God's way. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Matter of fact, verse 1, there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fill you my joy that you be what? Like-minded. By the way to be like-minded is have the mind of Christ. Having the same love, being one accord. What does that mean? One accord, being on the same sheet of music. Of one mind, let nothing be done through what? Strife, arguing, fussing, fighting, or vain glory, but what? In lowliness of mind. That's humbling yourself. Let each what? Esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That should be the mindset of the church member. I don't want conflict. I want to fulfill my purpose as a soul winner. I want to fulfill my purpose with my gift. I want to understand the conflict that's coming is coming from the devil. We can't see him, so it is not a problem with somebody that I can see. Are we going to disagree? Yes, but God can still use people that we disagree with. Amen. God is still on charge, on the throne and in charge. Amen. God has the right to use people we disagree with. Amen. We'll come back on Sunday night with a conflict between you and your mate, but there's never such a thing as conflict between you and your mate. I know that. Amen. And so we'll discuss that and trust the Lord to work in our lives. Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. By the way, conflicts are there. The devil is waiting for you and I to grab them. Amen. But God can work the conflict through us. Amen. Just trust the Lord and don't blame someone that you can see. Amen. Father, thank you once again that we know conflicts are there. Conflicts will happen. We can agree to disagree. Lord, I'm so glad that when it comes to doctrinal issues, Lord, there should never be a conflict because the Bible is the final authority. Lord, if it's a personality conflict, help us to recognize that all people are going to be different. That you use different people and you use them in different ways. And Lord, we need to just trust you with our purpose of being a soul winner, our purpose of giving our gifts to the church, and then recognize and be prepared when the devil tries to put one against another that we know we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not someone we can see. Thank you for loving us tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to deal with conflicts, Lord, biblically, going to someone, getting it right, or confessing it, forsaking it, and just getting over it. And Lord, I pray that you are blessed now in our lives. And Lord, help us as we go to school, work, play, or whatever we do, we might see conflict as you see it. And Lord, we thank you and love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor White's going to come up quickly, give us our announcements for today. Amen. And we will dismantle. Thank you, preacher.